Hey everyone, welcome to episode 5 of Pull Up a Chair. I am trying to be quiet because I am recording in my living room, and I will say that we have some pretty thin walls in this apartment complex. I don't really want to get into it right now. I may loop back around to this whole debacle at the end of the episode, but for now, I just want to catch you guys up because I have not recorded an episode since early December, and it is now February, so it looks like I've taken some time off unintentionally. I definitely didn't want to take this much time off, but it kind of happened with life, and also there were probably 3 or 4 episodes that I did record, and I listened to them, and they were trash. They sounded really negative. They sounded really whiny. And I didn't really intend it to sound that way. But with just stuff I was thinking and feeling, because, you know, obviously this show is not scripted. I don't sit down and write a script. I actually did sit down and write an outline today, but that is the first time I've ever done that in the history of this podcast. That is quite short-lived at the moment. I've not had it for that long. So at this point, I am starting fresh. I have my notes here. I have my pinpoints. I have things that I want to talk to you about. And hopefully at the end of the episode, you can give me more feedback. I am on Instagram at Melissa Faye Blog. That's MelissaFayeBlog. Yes, I did have a blog. No, I do not have a blog anymore. Is it on the internet? Yes, you could probably find it. It's still there. I've not taken it down, but I've not actually written on that blog in maybe a couple of years at this point. And it's something that I, you know, actively pursued, but unfortunately, I'm not a professional. And I feel like in this day and age with blogging, there's a lot of pressure to just have, you know, extremely good content. And more so, it was a personal diary for me. And I thought, if there's really that much that I want to share, it would probably be faster to just do a podcast and share with you there than having to type it all out and find a picture and find a blog title and publish it and respond to comments if I even get any. It just felt like a lot of pressure to try and push content all the time. Like, oh, I have a blog, by the way. Too much. So I am on Instagram. I encourage you to follow me on Instagram. And also, if you have any questions or comments or just want to say like, hey, nice try, or like, your podcast is really something, not sure what, but it's something, then you can always send me a DM and let me know. And that would be great, but I'll wait till the end of the episode about that. So to catch you up, I'm going to do a quick version for the holidays. I went to Gatlinburg for a few days with just me and my dad. You may not know this, you probably don't, but I have a real tenderness for daddy-daughter relationships. It's a tender spot for me. It's just something I've always had. Him and I have gotten really close after the past few years, and having a relationship like that where you can just go on a trip with just your dad, I think it's really meaningful and special, and I don't know that I'll have the opportunity in life to be able to do that. So we went to Gatlinburg, we just kind of like walked around and hung out and just relaxed, and it was very low pressure, low key type thing. Him and I are good with just jumping in the car and like driving around or going and looking at cabins and like dreaming about what it would be like to have a cabin in the mountains and all that kind of stuff. So that was really nice. And then we actually went to my sister's house for Christmas and stayed in a hotel there. So I was gone at Christmas time for about 7 days, 5 days, something like that. And just had time with family, and we're not big on gifts. We've not been in the last few years. It's more about just spending time together and not about what you're getting the other person or what you're receiving. and it's just been really nice. We're all in different areas now. We're all kind of spread out. None of us live in the same town. Half of us live in the same state, but I'm still 3 hours from my sister. And so we just, try and make it work. Hopefully next year, one or all or both or some can make a trip to me up here. I think Nashville is one of the best cities to be a visitor or a tourist in because there's just so much to do. And the holidays, Nashville really does go all out. If you've not been to Nashville, like pretty much every restaurant bar you go to that's decent anyway is going to be decorated for Christmas. We have these like holiday pop-up bars that come about and they're really festive. And I'm not gonna lie, like Nashville does Christmas pretty well. So I had a good time as well. I went to one of the Christmas bars that we had at the Noel Hotel with a friend, and there were like Christmas themed drinks and just like a really nice, like cheery atmosphere. And that was really fun. Not fun was my holiday travel induced anxiety. I also was in a wedding a little bit before Christmas, like 10 days before Christmas. We were in a wedding for my cousin. And so I went to Georgia twice in the same month. And yeah, that was a lot. The wedding was gorgeous. It was like a Christmas Hallmark wedding. I have a picture on my Instagram of that with the bridal party, just the bride side, the bridesmaids and the bride, and my little niece, who is a flower girl, and my nephew, who was a ring bearer. They were perfect. They looked so cute. That was probably the best part of the wedding, along with the fact that my niece can outdance anyone. Like, she was really shy at first, but then she got on the dance floor at the reception and she really busted a move. I don't know if people say that anymore. She was killing it, and I was jealous because I don't even have that much confidence in myself. But she was just like, oh, yeah, me, okay. And she just went for it. And I was like, what? And we had this like circle around her, and everyone was like, yeah. And it was just amazing. But I just have a lot of anxiety from just being away from home. I don't do good when I'm not having my normal routine. I just like freak out a little bit. It wasn't severe, it wasn't bad, but I like did not sleep for like a week practically. I just could not sleep. I can't sleep when I'm not at home. Then I get really irritable and emotional because I'm not sleeping, and it's just a vicious cycle. But once I got home and went back to work, which I had to be back at work on the 26th of December, the day after Christmas, I had to be back at work and start the whole, back at work thing again. And start the new year off basically. It wasn't great having to do that, but next year I ain't doing that. So I'm just letting y'all know if y'all listening and you work with me, I ain't doing it. So there you go. There's that. For New Year's, I stayed home. Nashville does have a guitar dropping thing at midnight where they drop the guitar, I assume, from the sky, kind of like the ball drop or the peach drop in Atlanta. They have their own little version here. I have no interest in being out there with them people who are crazy because they are. No one in their right mind goes in a large crowd of people and gets super, super drunk. And I think it rained some of that day, not at night, but it rained during the day. No, I'm not going to stand out there all day long waiting. Excuse me, burp. Trying to get a good spot and be out and about all day on my feet? No. No. So I stayed home. New Year's was fine. I prefer to not do that next year. What I've learned this year, or I guess last year, during the holidays, is that I don't want to do the holidays like I did. So I did Christmas with my dad, went to Gatlinburg, and was with my sister. I don't want to change that. That's not necessarily bad at all. A lot of people don't have their dad around the holidays. They don't have their mom. They don't have siblings. They may be like way further than a few hours drive from their family. I don't take it for granted. I'm just tired of doing this whole single alone thing. And sometimes I'm okay with it. During the holidays, I'm not okay with it. So next year, I want New Year's Eve plans. Like, I want to be able to either go somewhere with someone or have them come to my house or apartment or whatever, or hang out, or yeah, I just don't want to do that whole alone thing. That's like the last time I want to do that. So I'm saying that out loud, and I shall manifest my destiny. That's what they're saying nowadays, right? So I'm going to manifest. I'm manifesting right now. I will not be alone on New Year's Eve next year, this year. No. And then after that, I got some weird strep thing that doesn't test positive for strep. It's apparently a thing because I've looked on Facebook and other people have also experienced this really streppy, weird, terrible sickness that when they go to the doctor and get a strep test, the test is negative. But they're walking around with tonsils 3 times their normal size that are covered in white pus. You cannot tell me, ma'am, sir, that is not strep because I know it is. Luckily, after the second doctor's visit, I got a prescription for an antibiotic, but they would not give it to me the first time around because I tested negative. That is some dumb, stupid stuff. I'm not a doctor, but I feel like you know what strep looks like. You've seen it enough. I get it all the time. I did not get it as a child, but I'm getting it now as an adult, which is like extra super fun. So, yeah, so if it looks like strep, brother better write me a prescription. Like, it ain't hard. So, after that, I was back at work again, and then I got back to driving. Driving in November, December was rough. I think with the holidays, it was just a different crowd out here. And maybe they aren't big on Lyft and Uber, or maybe a lot of people head out of town. And they don't need Lyft and Uber because they're not here. But it was very slow. So January's picked back up and we'll see how February goes. But I am still doing that. It's good money. It's good cash, like on the spot type of thing where you can basically get paid right then and there. And that's what I like. It's like, okay, boom, I'm paid. No significant issues with driving. I get that question a lot, like, oh, I bet you get so many weirdos. Because you're a woman, and I bet you get so many creepy guys. I really don't. I did get one man that I'm convinced is a serial killer because when he got into my car, this was before Christmas, I had Christmas music playing on the weekends at night when I would drive. Not all the time, and you know, I didn't want to like overdo it. But that particular night, I had my Christmas music on, and he got in my car and he said, I'm sorry. Can you turn that shit off? I hate Christmas music. So at that point, I was like, yeah, I bet you hate babies and puppies too, and you're probably a serial killer. Because what kind of psychopath doesn't like Christmas music? I mean, not even like one song. He said he hated all of it, and he just was not having it. And he was kind of rude about it. It wasn't like, I'm so sorry. Like, I'm just kind of like Christmas music out, you know? Like, I hear it all the time. Can you maybe? No, he was like, I'm sorry. Turn this shit off. I hate Christmas music. I'm like, well, I hate you. So, luckily, you're out of my car in 5 minutes, but, you know, I get to stay in this car all night. So, my car, my rules. I did change it, though. I wasn't a jerk. And excuse the profanity, I will put an explicit marker on this episode just so you're aware that there is a curse word. Maybe I'll do a disclaimer. I don't know. I wasn't sure about profanity on this channel, but I wanted to be a channel. It is kind of a channel, on this podcast. Naturally, I do curse. I don't do it like every other word. I try not to sound like a moron who's unintelligent. But if the moment strikes and the emotion is there, sometimes it does slip. So sorry about that. For 2019, I do have some goals. I feel like goals are like the word of the century for adults. I don't know if it was like that when my parents were my age, but apparently goals is like a thing and I'm supposed to have them, so I do. No, I actually do like them, but so this year, I want to become as close to debt-free as possible. I've been obviously driving for Lyft and Uber. Before that, I had another part-time job working at Publix, which is a grocery store. And my reason for that is that all my money that I make at my full-time job goes to my bills and my debt. All the money I make at my part-time job goes to my food and my gas. Food and gas, for one, is not quite as big of a burden as all the monthly bills and all my debt. So that's why I've done it this way. And my goal is to be debt-free by the end of the year. If not, you know, mostly debt-free, where I have like a credit card or two lingering. I'm okay with that. I started with 11 credit cards. That is like a really shameful thing for me to admit. But for the sake of transparency, I did get to the point where I was racking up the credit card debt just nonstop. For many different reasons. One being a complete lack of self-control. I'm just going to be real. Complete lack of self-control. Now, the contributing factors to that, they vary. It was anything from depression to not making enough money to not being, you know, able to say no to myself, to thinking that if I bought whatever, it would make me feel better. If I bought other people's whatever, it would make me feel better. You know, if I ate out every night, it'd make me feel better. Because I had a rough patch for the last, like, I'd say, 5 years, I don't know. and it was kind of like an addiction. And I do think spending addiction can be a real thing. And it didn't get really bad until maybe a year or two ago. I would say it was manageable, and then it got out of control. And when it got out of control, I had to make the really hard decision of tackling it like head on and saying, okay, no more is it about things. You know, things will not make you happy. New clothes every week or every month will not make you happy. Technology, computers, things like that. Because I wasn't buying little purchases. They definitely added up. I definitely was. But I would buy like a Mac computer or an iPod when that was a thing. Did I buy an iPod? iPad. Come on now. iPod. Nobody buys an iPod. iPad. Various other things. I mean, it's shameful. I feel bad about it because I know I got myself in this predicament. This is my doing. And I have to get myself out. And so I've had to sacrifice, oh my gosh, like everything. And I allow myself a few things here and there, but my wardrobe has never been smaller. Not only can I not fit in most of it, and I've gotten it donated this last month. I've gone to Goodwill and donated a good chunk of it again. But you know, I can't go out and buy new clothes. I can't go out and buy more clothes. I wear the same 4 or 5 outfits to work every week. Depending on the season, every season has its like 4 or 5 outfits, which is like kind of a cool thing now. Like I can just be like, oh no, I'm not poor. I have a capsule wardrobe, you know, like now that's cool. But the truth is I cannot afford to buy clothes, and I don't. And anyone that's seen me will know I've worn the same thing over and over for about 2 years, 3 years. I bought new shoes this last fall, but that was because all of my other shoes were in such terrible shape that I literally couldn't wear them anymore. And I can't say I've ever allowed myself to get to that point. I've always just like gotten new ones and gotten new ones and gotten new ones. And then I just like accumulate all these shoes, but no, they actually were not wearable. They were like, they had very little to no support in them. And I basically had to just like get rid of them and get new ones, but I went to Target and got them. So I wasn't going to like anywhere expensive, and I don't generally anyway, like the majority of my wardrobe is from Old Navy. So you can just imagine the level of luxury that I've lived in. So no clothing, no technology, like no new computers. I did get an iPad, which I basically use as a computer, as a TV when I'm in bed, as a way to see things on a screen that's not a phone, and like get on the internet and things like that, type things out a little bit easier than I can on a phone. And I don't plan on getting rid of it, and it's almost paid off, so I'm not too worried about that. But yeah, I've sacrificed a lot of things, a lot of like, you know, fun things like going out, things like that. I know I can't afford to do it, and it's kind of put a damper on my social life because I don't feel like I have the ability as much to just be like, yeah, let's go out on Tuesday, let's go out on Friday, let's go out on Saturday, and just go to wherever. And because it's so easy to do things with people and spend money, it's like what you do, you know. It's not very common for me to be like, hey, come over and let's just like eat in, or let's like watch a movie or whatever. Like, I don't have friends like that here yet. I mean, I'm working on it, but I don't. And so it's not as easy for me to be like, hey, can we hang out, but like not spend any money. I'm just not in that space yet with somebody in my life. Not in this town, you know, and out of state, yes, but not here. And here people just like to go out. I mean, there's so much to do, so I get it. But, yeah, I've sacrificed a lot. Another goal I have is, I keep burping and I'm annoyed by it. Like, honestly, I don't ever do it until I start podcasting. Finding a church is really important to me. I'm still in that headspace where I'm like, the thought of it is just dreadful. Like, I feel dreadful about it. Because I feel like I'm like starting over. I grew up in church. It is normal to me to go, but at the same time, it's not, because I've not gone in literal years, not consistently. I've gone like on and off. I also want to focus on my health, but in a realistic way. I've put way too many limits on myself and restrictions and really unrealistic expectations in the past. Like last year, I was like, I'm going to lose 30 pounds. Well, that didn't happen. The year before, I wanted to lose 50 pounds. That didn't happen. I wanted to, you know, start this workout program or start this workout class and go regularly. That didn't happen. I've not found what works for me. I do enjoy the gym. Like, I don't actually hate the gym at all. What I hate is paying for it. And with my budget and my debt and all that, I've not made it a priority. I should, if I can move some things around, it is a priority. But I also have ways of working out at home for basically free. I have ways of working out at work because we have a gym at the college and that is free. My only hang up about that is working out with 18-year-olds because I'm clearly not 18. Like, I don't look it. I don't feel it. And it shows when I work out. And I just don't want to be in a room full of sweaty teenagers or like 20-year-olds. But there is a way for me to join multiple gyms with my insurance and be able to go to like basically 5 to 6 gyms within 5 miles of my house. And I can just pick whichever one works for me. But I also want to pick out exercises that make me feel good. I'm not into high intensity stuff. I think it's like borderline dangerous. Now, I do think people who are in really great shape, who have done it for a long period of time and also monitor like their heart rate, or at least like keep it at a realistic heart rate and like feed themselves enough. Someone that doesn't like not feed themselves and then go do like an hour really hard, high intensity cardio or something. Like someone who really takes care of themselves and does it and like eats protein and stuff, I'd be like, okay, yeah. And like maybe talk to their doctor about it first and like maybe not just like start going all out. Because honestly, I do think there's a danger in like going too hard, because sometimes people drop dead from running marathons. You know, there's a delicate balance. I'm not saying all people do, because if it was killing people, no one would do it. Obviously, it works. But I do think that there's like, I don't feel great about it. I don't feel great about putting my body through that. I don't think I'd enjoy that. And then if I don't enjoy it, guess what? I'm not going to go. So it just doesn't sound fun for me to like jump up and down and get up off the floor and jump back down and get on the floor. That sounds horrific. But if I found something that I enjoyed that made me feel good and made me sweat and made me feel like, okay, I did something, that would be good. Like dancing, I'm not like a great professional dancer. I'm not, but dancing almost feels like it's not a workout. So anything kind of like dancing related, I liked bar. I thought the classes were a little too full. I think they need them to be like smaller classes because they really fill them up in there. And then you're basically touching someone who's trying to like stretch and bounce and do all these things you have to do. I don't know. I'll find something I like. Sometimes I just like walking. And, you know, I didn't grow up athletic, so I'm not going to start now at 32 years old to start being this like really athletic person. I feel like I've had my chance in life. If I were going to be athletic, I already would be. So there you go. I also want to date, put myself out there. Maybe not even date, just find friends, put myself out there, be vulnerable. I feel like that is very underrated, being vulnerable. I was talking to a girl at work who kind of is going through the same thing. There's this like question in your mind, like, okay, how open and vulnerable should I be with this person? Especially if you're starting a relationship out of thin air, which is what I would call dating in general now because of dating apps and dating websites. You're basically starting online and you're starting a relationship out of thin air. There's no organic way to do that. So what you basically have to do is have the mindset of, I'm going to be genuine. I'm going to be my authentic self. I'm going to be upfront about how I feel, about what I think. And I'm just going to put it all out there because if they like it, then great. We can move forward and progress and maybe even have a relationship. If I hold everything back, if I'm disingenuous, if I don't share my actual thoughts or feelings, they're never going to get a sense of who I am. They're never going to be able to decide, okay, yeah, this person works for me. We're compatible. We have similar beliefs. We have similar values. So my thing in dating is stop playing games. Quit with the games. Quit with the mind games. Quit with the playing hard to get. Quit with the, I have to wait so many hours to respond to your texts. Or I have to wait days to respond to look busier. Or I need to not say that because it'll make me look desperate. Now I'm saying, you know, don't be a creepy weirdo. Like, don't start stalking people because you feel like that will like that will like make things happen for you. You know, don't do that. But I think being your genuine self, even if you're crazy about, you know, whatever, like if you really enjoy reading and staying in, don't go on a date and start talking about how you love to go out and you love to meet new people and you're really outgoing. Like within a month, they're gonna be able to figure out that you're not and that you'd rather sit at home and read a book or watch Netflix than go out. And, you know, if you're like, oh yeah, I drink socially, I really like drinking, but you drink twice a year and you never go out and it's not something you enjoy. Or if you're really athletic and you try and downplay your athleticism because you don't want to come across like too aggressive or too manly or whatever, like it's silly. Like just be exactly who you are. And exactly where you are. And I have to remember that too, because I'm not super, I'm about to be really vulnerable right now on my podcast. I'm not super happy with the way I look. I'm not. If you talk to me about it for 5 minutes, you'll be able to pick up on that. So I do struggle right now with having confidence in myself and being realistic about the fact that I'm not okay with how I look. I'm at my heaviest weight I've ever been. I don't like my chubby chin and my gut and my giant thighs right now. And I'm sure there are millions of other women who feel that way and who think, I am not attractive. I am not going to attract a man. I am not going to feel great about my body. And if he compliments me, I'm not going to be able to accept his compliment. I'm just going to think he's lying or he's just trying to get some, he's just trying to hook up with me and he doesn't care about me. I struggle with that too. Trust me, if you're there, I am there. But I also have to remember that there is a lot more to me than how I look. And guess what? I've weighed 140 pounds. I've weighed 160 pounds. And I've weighed 180 pounds. And I've weighed 190 pounds. Weight changes, like weight can change. My weight can change. It can go up. It can go down. If it goes down and I have kids, it goes back up. Guess what? Like, my weight's always going to change. What's not going to change is my mindset, my personality, my heart, the things I care about, my values, my morals, my character, my convictions. None of that is going to change. My humor is the same whether I'm 200 pounds or 140 pounds. The way I think is not going to change because of my weight. The way that I think about other people won't change. The way I feel about a guy won't change. And it's same with men. If the man's weight goes up or it goes down, he's still who he is. And I think there's too much emphasis on the physical aspect of a relationship. And I'm not saying it's not important. I'm not saying you shouldn't be attracted to the other person, but I'm saying meet that person where they are. Be okay with the person that they are on the inside, because guess what? When you're 80, you're not going to be so sexy anymore. Like, you're not going to be hot to trot when you're 80. You're going to be saggy and old and wrinkly like a dusty biscuit. And there's just something you're going to have to accept because people change physically so much in their life, more so than any other way, I think your body changes. And, I struggle with that too. And I always think, well, maybe I shouldn't date until I'm completely satisfied with how I look. That day will never come because the moment I lose weight, it will be something else. It will be, well, now I'm skinny, but I still have cellulite and I hate my cellulite. So I'm going to wait till all my cellulite's gone before I go on a date with a guy. Or, okay, now my cellulite is minimized, but I still have acne, adult onset acne, which is such a blessing and a joy. And, now I can't date because of my acne. Well, now I can't date because I hate the shape of my nose. So I need to save $9,000 to get a nose job. There's always going to be something that I'm not going to be happy with. And the most important thing I can do to really love myself, even though it sounds corny, is treat my body well, feed it, something good. And I do have a very varied diet. Like, I eat a variety of things. So it's not like I never eat a vegetable or a fruit. It's not that I never eat a salad or cook any healthy things. It's not like I never eat an avocado. I do. I love everything. That's my problem. But it's just about feeding myself well, moving my body, really, really getting into an exercise that I enjoy. I don't care if no one else likes it. I'm going to find something that I enjoy. Yoga is great, but it does not get my heart rate up. Like, it feels great in the moment, and it might get my heart rate up. It is kind of hard. Like, I'm not flexible, and it does make me go out of breath. But it's not a cardio type exercise. So I want to find something that I enjoy. There are classes I can go to that are at my work for, like, basically free. Well, not basically free, they are free. But there's things I can do. I mean, there's not, I'm not, I have, it's not like I don't have options. I do. So I've chilled on that. It's kind of like, you know what? If I met a guy and he didn't have, like, the greatest body ever, Am I really going to hold that against him? Absolutely not. Because what matters to me is who he is. Like, is he kind? Is he smart? Is he a Christian? Like, does he, you know, care about other people? Is he just like a jerk, like running around in the world? You know, that kind of stuff matters. So I did try Match for a month, which is like what I usually do, because Match is horrific in its own right. And I mean, all the dating apps are terrible. I'm not saying that like one of them is great. I think the best one I may have tried, and I appreciate its concept, is Hinge. But it's the same guys that's on Bumble. So, I mean, it's like, great. I mean, it's just same guys, different platform, you know? So I did Match because you have to actually pay to use any of the services. And I sent numerous messages to guys, and they recommend that you send, I don't know who they is, but somebody recommends you send 5 to 10 messages a day. Now that's like another part-time job. I get that. That's like hard work. But I did my part. I sent the messages. I got no responses. The guys that messaged me, I did not even like see. And so I'm messaging a whole other kind of group, you know, like it's like a group study. I'm over here with this group, and there's a whole other group out here that is looking at me like, oh yeah, that would work out, you know, I'm going to talk to her. So I got this message from a guy, and the first thing I noticed was that it was a very lengthy message. Now, when I see messages that way, I immediately think, thank God, you know, they can write a sentence, because sometimes I wonder how these people made it through high school, let alone college or like graduate school. It worries me, because people just don't take into consideration how crappy it feels to get a message from someone where they say the word please and spell it PLS. You know, like, I have a problem with that because I feel like you're not 15. You're an adult man. You're probably either my age or older. You should probably just spell out the full word. But I got a message from this guy, and when it's lengthy like that, I also think he's probably sent this 1500 times. He probably has like a message that he just kind of like copies and pastes, but he'll insert a little bit of like my profile in there to make it sound genuine. Now, I have no problem with that. If you're taking the effort to like pick and choose a little bit of like, you know, like you're sprinkling in some of like my profile in there so it looks like you actually read it, I'm okay with that. But I pretty much know that this is like a canned message, and you're just copying and pasting to like everyone and their mother, you know. But I read it and I thought, okay, this is like a decent guy because he's saying pretty great things, things that I'm kind of looking for. And so we messaged back and forth for a few days, and then he asked me to text. And initially, I'm like, okay, after a few days, I don't mind it. But then he talked like about a phone call. He wanted to talk on the phone. And I'm like, like I need to work up to a phone call, which means you can text me for like a day or two. I just want to make sure that you're not really like insane. And then I can talk to you on the phone, which it should be the other way around, but that's just not how the world works anymore. So I was like, okay. So he texts for like a few days. And by a few days, I mean like 5. Now, I wasn't clear about the fact that I only wanted to text him for a day or two. I did say I need to warm up to a phone call. Like I need to like work myself to that point. But I thought a day or two was plenty. I think 5 days is a little excessive. And so I figured the phone call was never going to happen. He would text me, but it would be very surface level. It wasn't like anything worth really texting me about. He didn't have like a funny story from that day at work, or like a funny anecdote from like a year ago that he could have just pulled right back out. He didn't have like anything interesting to say. So I assumed this was just going to be one of those like pen pal scenarios where they talk your ear off on text and then like never intend to meet you in person. So after a few days, it like didn't progress and didn't go anywhere. And I said, okay, that's enough. So I texted him and I said, hey, I think you're great. Like, obviously, you're a nice guy. I don't really know that, but I'll say it's true. And I told him, I think you're a nice guy, but I really don't see this progressing because you've not really mentioned going out or meeting up or the phone call again. I basically was saying, I'm gonna bow out unless you really show like genuine interest and you're not. So I'm just gonna bow out. Well, I'm not thinking about the fact that he didn't call me because I told him I wasn't ready. And he probably didn't bring it up because he thought I would. He was like, I'm really confused. I thought you said you didn't want to talk on the phone yet. I didn't want to push it. It seemed like you needed some time to, like, get to know me first and all that. And I'm like, okay, well, yeah, duh. Like, I wasn't clear. I did not say. I did the absolute opposite of what I just said I wanted to do about being clear and upfront and all that. I wasn't. So then we work up to a phone call. He calls me. We talked for like an hour, hour and a half. Good conversation, easy conversation. Overall, I felt good about the phone call. I thought the phone call was very normal. I thought, nothing weird was said. He didn't give me like weird vibes. He came across a little nerdy, but that doesn't bother me. Like, a little nerdy is fine. It was whatever. So then we had planned to meet for coffee at Starbucks that following Monday. We talked on the phone on like Friday, Saturday. Monday, we met up at Starbucks. I got there first. I got there early. I'm very, very, very nervous before I meet someone on a date or meet someone new. I just get very nervous. So I got there really early so I could like chill out. And the Starbucks was pretty busy, but I sat down. He came about 15 minutes later. He walks in. Okay. So I want to be as like diplomatic and dignified as I can when I say this. He walked in. I can't say he didn't look like his pictures, but his pictures had to have been 5 to 8 to maybe 10 years old. It had to have been because there's a lot about him that has changed simply from just being 10 years older. So his face looked more mature. He looked like he just looked older. Like he did not look like I thought he would based on his pictures. In some ways he did, but in some ways he didn't. One of the ways he didn't, and I was not aware, was that homeboy had braces. And I don't think there's anything wrong with adults having braces. I think if you're able to have braces as an adult versus you couldn't as a child or a teenager and you're buying them yourself and you're finally, doing something for yourself, I say go for it. I say nothing is wrong with an adult man or woman having braces. There is Invisalign. I know that may not work for every case. Maybe not every dentist or orthodontist is like crazy about Invisalign. It was like a really big thing a few years ago. Maybe it's not anymore. I don't know. I thought it was. He did not have Invisalign. He had wire braces with like the rubber bands around and they were like black. So that was not the ideal color, I don't think. I don't think black is like the ideal color for your teeth, but that's just me. He had braces. I was not ready. I know I looked at them like, what? Like, I did not know. He did not mention it on the phone. None of his pictures had braces. Come to find out, this is his third round with braces, and he was just fixing one tooth that, like, got out of alignment or whatever. I don't think that's necessary to go full braces on one tooth. Like, again, they have Invisalign for that. I just don't think it was like that severe, but that's not my decision, so that's fine. So he comes up, we like say our to-dos and how are you and all that, like pleasantries. And then he's like, "Do you want me to get your coffee?" And I'm like, "Yeah, sure." I tell him what I want. He goes and gets it. He's not a coffee drinker, so he gets hot chocolate. Comes and sits down, and we have a conversation. On dates, I just like people, if they're talkative, if they're on the talkative side, I just like them to talk because I want to be able to hear. I want to be able to get this, get this all out. Like, I want to be able to kind of feel out what kind of person you are. So if you just want to talk, by all means, because I'm probably judging you a lot harder than you're judging me. I judge a lot by what people say and how they say it, more so than vice versa. It takes a lot to get to know me one-on-one talking. I think I'm more of like, you kinda let it, you gotta, I think you gotta give me time to get it all out there, but some people just wanna put it out there. So when they do, I let them talk. And he was one of those people. And I definitely did talk. It's not like he didn't ask me questions. He was, interested in me and wanted to know about me and all of that. But just some things he said, I was like, okay. And then he would like be fine, and then he'd say another thing, and I'd be like, okay. And it doesn't sound like it's fair because it's like, well, Melissa, that's one thing. But no, it was a few things. So at the end of the date, again, this is like a 3 hour date. I mean, we had a 3 hour conversation basically, and it was fine. But when we left, he like tugged me goodbye, which again is fine. But then he like smelled my hair, and I'm okay with that when you're subtle about it. Like, I think a man smelling a woman's hair is pretty normal and, probably natural to do. But, like, he was not subtle about it. So he was like, "Oh, your hair smells so good." Went in for another huge whiff, like top of my head. I was like asking, like, what I use and all this stuff. And I'm like, "Oh, shampoo. I don't know. Like, I don't know why it smells the way it does. It's clean. I don't know what to tell you. Whatever." So I like made a joke about it and we like laughed and whatever. But then he hugged me again. So we're talking about two hugs, two hair whiffs. Then he made another joke. He was like, "Well, let me see how far I am from my house." And I was like, "Oh, what's your address?" Like trying to be like a weirdo creep, but like a funny way. Like, he was like, "Oh, do you want to know?" And then grabbed me again. So that's a third hug. And then when he actually left, he hugged me again. So we're talking four hugs in like a 5 to 6 minute period. That's excessive. Like, you obviously need to get some in a nice way. You need a lady friend. I understand. That's a lot of hugging on a first meeting. Also, he kept saying that because he got this date, which was all of $10 because it was a coffee, and a hot chocolate, that I got the second date. And he said that more than once. He said it like once inside the Starbucks. He was like, "Oh, I wonder if we should get another one since we've been here so long." Like, we were about to leave, so I wasn't really going to get another drink. I was like, "Yeah, we should." He's like, "Well, you get this one because I got the first one." And I'm like, "Bro, what is it, like $9? Like, chill out. Like, we're basically about to leave anyway. Like, 3 hours, like, I want to wrap it up, you know?" And then he said again, like, outside. So, like, "You got the next one." And I'm like, first of all, what? Like, this was barely a date. I mean, this was coffee. This was like, I want to make sure you're not psycho. I want to make sure you're not crazy. I never said he should pay for my coffee. I said, "Oh, I can come up with you." He was like, "No, I got it." So he offered, so I took the offer. But, had I paid for my own, like, would it still have been that way? Like, I don't understand. So he said that, and that kind of bothered me. It just bothered me a little bit. Because I think the whole paying thing should be decided between two people. I don't think someone should just tell you that we're going to start alternating when we've barely gone on a date. This was literally what I would call a meeting. It felt like a meeting. It was like an interview. The first date when you're meeting someone is not a first date, in my opinion. Like, that's kind of like the preemptive, like, I need to know if you're okay to go out with, and then we can go on a date, because I had zero date vibes. I'm too nervous. Starbucks is not romantic. There was no activity. There was no fun. It was just a sit down. Let me get to know you and find out you're not crazy or like gonna kill me. That's how I feel on a first like meeting. So, all in all, it was fine. It was a fine conversation. I did not get great vibes. I did not find us to be a good match. And he also was already planning the third date, which was a Metallica show. He asked me to go to that before even going on a second date. Now, I'm not saying that that is like wrong. I'm not saying that you're like a freaking weirdo for thinking ahead or planning ahead. If you have bought tickets and you have spent money and you have no one to go with and you're interested in someone or you think there might be the possibility, I get why he asked me, but I was not the only one he asked. Because when I said no, I told him he should probably go with someone that enjoys Metallica. I'm not a Metallica girl. I never was. I never will be. And so I asked him like a day or two later, like, hey, did you find someone to go with? He was like, no, none of my friends like Metallica. And I was like, shocker, who does? But whatever. People do, it's fine. Not me though. So I told him no to the Metallica, but the second date was kind of still on tentatively. I had not decided. And then finally, I just had to be real with myself and with him and just be like, look, I don't think this is going to go anywhere. And I basically had to text him that and let him know. And he was not having it at first and was like, I don't understand. We had a really great day. I don't get what could have happened. I thought we had a good time. Is it something I did? Is it something I said? And I wanted to be like, yeah, like it is. But what person is going to like tell you, like, yeah, it is what you said, you know? Like, I'm not cool with you telling me that I got the next date when we haven't really even been on a date yet. Like, this was not a date. I don't know what you think it was, but it was coffee after not even knowing who you are. You are literally a complete stranger. And I'm not one of those people that can just like go off and start just dating some person I've known for 3 hours. Like, no. So, lo and behold, if we had gone out, I would have paid for mine. I would have paid for mine. I have no problem doing that. But let me offer to pay for mine. Like, let me tell you at that moment, hey, I'll get mine. Okay, great. I'll get mine. Like, I don't mind going Dutch. I don't want to alternate because we haven't decided that's what we're doing. I never said that that's what I wanted to do. We never agreed. There was no discussion. I think it's a sensitive thing. I think people have different budgets. People have different capabilities financially. People can't go all out on every date. I know I can't. If we went somewhere and it was a $100 bill, I don't even know if I could come up with 50. I mean, I have to be that realistic about it because I'm balling on a budget, you know? So I have to have a little bit of input when it comes to the dates, deciding where we go and deciding on all that, because yeah, I can't just come up with $50, $100 a pop every time, you know, I go out with somebody. So I think people just need to be sensitive to that because not everybody is rolling in the dough. And it comes down to, okay, is one of y'all making more money? You know, can one of you get drinks and the other get food? Or can one of you get food if it's an expensive like place and the other one buy movie tickets because that's like $30 and it's not $80, you know? Like, I think there's a good balance there, but I think it takes two people to come to that conclusion. And I know it seems like I'm overthinking, but I think I don't think it takes long to figure people out. And with him, due to other factors that I won't really mention, I just think that's kind of like the kind of guy he is. And so there were other things, but yeah, it was a no-go. So I had to tell him that. And that was that. No Metallica show for me. And now Match is expired. So I'm not paying way too much to be rejected or reject someone else. So I'm back to the free dating apps. I was going to give up the dating apps for a little while, but then I felt like, you know, okay, Melissa, well, then what? You're going to have like zero social abilities if you have nothing to go off of. So I can't completely eliminate them. Again, I'm not a social butterfly. I'm not going out every night. I don't have a church right now. I have to figure something out. So February's here, and that means that Valentine's Day is not too far away. And for me, Valentine's Day means absolutely nothing. We're not in first grade anymore. No one gets all the fun Valentines or the candy or the fun V-Day party at school. And I think it's just bullcrap. So I wouldn't care if I did have someone. I do not celebrate Valentine's Day. I think it is ridiculous. I think too much emphasis is on it. And I think it mattered to me when I was first married because I was like, ooh, I'm married and now I have a lifelong Valentine. It's like, yeah, well, that didn't even last a lifelong time because your girl got divorced 3 years later. So there's that. So yeah, I think Valentine's Day is ridiculous. For other people, maybe not. My parents are also dating at this point, not dating actively, but can date other people because they are divorced. And sometimes I get to hear their really exciting, fun stories. And one lady in particular, my dad talked to, she is just like not in a great place. And she's really just looking for companionship. And I was like, when people say that, I get really leery because what it reminds me of, and this is when Craigslist had this, Craigslist used to have like personal ads and they were disgusting. And it was just all a bunch of weirdos. Like, honestly, all the weirdos were on these Craigslist personal ads and they were just looking for companionship, quote unquote. But they're the type of people that literally will cut your toenails just to eat them. You know what I mean? Like, that's the type of people that are looking for companionship. So whenever I hear that, I immediately get nauseous. I'm just like, ugh, I know what that means when they say that. It doesn't really mean that. But I'm just saying that's the immediate place my brain went, is that they're literally like cutting off snippets of your hair, trying to grow a clone of you. Or I just get really freaky weirdo vibes when people say stuff like that. So yeah, I definitely want more than companionship. Companionship is not going to, it's not going to do it for me. Like, I do not want to get murdered in my sleep or someone trying to like boil my skin off my body. No, thank you. So this is the end of the show for today. I am so excited that I'm back. I'm going to try and be more regular, like I said I was going to be before. But hopefully you can help me with that. I'm looking for some episode ideas for you guys. If you are a listener, doesn't matter if I know you or not. Doesn't matter if you're my mom. Hi, mom. Not really. She probably doesn't listen. Doesn't matter. If you have an idea for an episode, or if you just want to hear more about a particular aspect of my life or a subject in general, please let me know. I enjoy talking about dating relationships. I feel like that's my sweet spot. I have a lot of input about marriage that probably won't translate well because I am divorced, but I do think divorced people are somewhat marriage experts because they know what not to do. So if you want to hear more about that, let me know. And I can talk about anything from mental health to true crime. If you're a true crime fan and you have no one else to talk to about it, you can definitely talk to me. I just finished the Ted Bundy tapes on Netflix. I have a lot of thoughts about that, but I just love true crime in general. I love discussing it and putting your, you know, my opinion and my thoughts into it. So if you're listening on the Anchor app, please leave me a voice message for ideas on future episodes. Or if you just want to ask me, like, hey, what do you think about this? Then I will definitely include it in a future episode. Thank you so much for listening, and I will be back very soon.